Genesis chapter 22. We have looked at this for 2 weeks before. We're going to finish it in the Lord's will this evening. God will provide. This is part three. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, for it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. May the Lord will bless again the reading of that wonderful portion of Scripture this evening. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we know the tent is blowing with the wind. We know distraction can come to our minds, and so we pray that you would take away every distracting thought and give everyone the ability to concentrate upon your word and to hear the things that you would say unto them. Father, take thy word and lodge it within our breasts and place it in our hearts and in our minds. And we pray that this evening, if there is anyone here who has not yet made their calling and election sure and come to a saving faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we pray tonight would be the night when they would surrender themselves before God, repent of their sins, and Lord, that you would save them by your grace through the blood of your Son. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, help us and settle us. And help this man of clay lips and frailty. Lord, give us the strength and give me the ability, the anointing that is needed, Lord, to bring thy word to the people, to the glory of Christ and to him alone. For he alone is worthy. Bless thy word unto our hearts and glorify thy name, we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. You know, we have looked at the last 2 weeks of, you know, the Lord says to Abraham, to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves, and to offer him up on a mountain in the region of Moriah where the Lord would show him. And if you remember, it says that the Lord tempted Abraham, and we looked at that. We won't talk about it tonight again, but since God tempts no man, we had to reconcile how he doesn't tempt, yet it says here he tempted. It means he tried, he tested, he proved him, but at the same time, the world sees this, A man being told by God to take his son, his only son, and slay him and burn him to ash. How cruel, the world would say, how cruel, how wicked of a God is he to do that to someone. But really with the eyes of the Spirit and with the word of God, we see how God was testing Abraham, but also bringing him to a place where Abraham, and even I trust you and I, if you've been here for the last two Sundays under this, that we would see and we would be placed in Abraham's shoes, that he would give his only son, whom he loves, to be sacrificed. But not only in Abraham's shoes, but that we would be placed in the shoes, so to speak, speaking reverently of our Heavenly Father, how he gave his son to be crucified, his only son whom he loved, that we might be saved. Notice, if you will, because he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, in whom thou lovest. It doesn't make sense, because the chapter before, he tells him, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and Isaac's sons through Israel, and of course Christ would come from Judah. And of course they would populate and multiply. Kings shall come out of thy loins, he says, from Genesis 17. But the chapter before, in chapter 21, he says, Abraham and Isaac shall thy seed be called. And now, in chapter 22, he says, go and take him, and slay him, and burn him. Doesn't make sense, Lord. Doesn't make sense at all. And there's many things in our lives that just simply don't make sense. Especially some things that we believe that God has led us to do. We just don't make sense of it. There are many things in Scripture we don't have the answer for. But we trust that by and by we shall know. When we get there, that we'll know all things. Maybe you've been through a trial that just hasn't made sense. Maybe you've been through a testing that you found it so hard to comprehend and to understand why such a thing has happened. Keep trusting and keep looking to the Lord, for the Lord has a purpose in everything he does. And sometimes our pain that we are feeling at this moment in time or the season that we have come through has been so devastating to us, we think we'll never recover. But in God's grace, brother, and in God's grace, sister, you will recover and recover all. Take note, if you will. God says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, in chapter 21. Chapter 22, now go and slay him. And the idea was that in faith he would take his son Isaac and that he would slay him, believing that even if he burnt him to cinders, to ash, that God was able to still fulfill his covenant promises, and God would raise him up from the very ash to which he was burnt into. Now that's faith, to believe God for that. That's believing God for the big things. That's believing God for the things that are needful. When God's word comes to the heart, we believe that God will keep his word, that God means what he says, and he says what he means. And hence, Abraham went with his son. Last week, we looked at how Hosea was placed in, as it were, God's shoes. Hosea, it represents the Lord, his name meaning salvation. And he went, and he was told by God to marry a woman called Gomer, a woman then of ill repute. And his three children are to be called certain names, that God would scatter them. God would not have mercy on the house of Israel, and God would no longer have them as his children. And then we're told that God said that there would come a time when it was said that you're not my people, that you would be my people. And God done that through the gospel. And you and I are recipients of that this very evening through the gospel of grace found in Christ alone. So that was last Lord's Day evening. We looked at that and how Hosea was placed right into God's shoes, so to speak. Hosea was placed right into his shoes. And hence Hosea would see what God felt when he looked at his bride Israel, ancient Israel. As he looked at them, he seen how sinful they were, how adulterous spiritually adulterous, and of course, they were full of idols. God kicked them out of the marital home of Canaan land, the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, and of course then sent forth the word of God at the time of Christ after them. And so we want to look at Genesis 22 and finish this evening. We want to look at how Abraham was going to go through a test. How much of it did he understand? I don't know. But it makes me think, and I read it in part one of this, where he said even to the Jewish leaders, your father Abraham, that's if they were, Abraham was their father, that Jesus was questioning their bloodline. He says, I will then, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Whether God had given him this full revelation of Christ in Genesis 22 or not, I don't know. But Abraham went in faith, and Abraham went in faith in the Lord. Notice, if you will, we want to look at five brief points this evening. We want to look at the son. Secondly, we want to look at the sacrifice. All in 22, Genesis 22, the son. Then we will look at the sacrifice. Thirdly, we will look at the surrender. The surrender. Then we will look at the substitute. And fifthly, we will look at the sign. The sign of Genesis 22. So first of all, let's remember, whenever the world looks at Calvary, they see the cruel nature of it. The evil see the earthy nature of things. And the wicked, they see the worldliness of it. They don't understand the things of God. They can't behold it. So when we understand the things of God, then we must believe that it is the Holy Spirit of God who has come into our lives to anoint us that we might behold the things of the Lord. So first of all, the Son. The Son. Genesis 22 and verse 2. The Lord said unto Abraham, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Notice God says, you have a son, your only son. Now he had Ishmael. Abraham had a son Ishmael with Hagar, who was an Egyptian, outside of the covenant. And of course they're not counted. So he goes to Isaac, whom he has with Sarah. And he says, this is the line, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now take him. You love him? Of course, Lord. He's your only begotten son. He's your only son, pardon me. Yes, Lord. He says, then take him and go and offer him. Strange, but how hard would it be when we think about this? How difficult would it be? I'm a father of two daughters. How hard would it be to take your son, your child, and say, Lord, I'll obey you and I'll take them and I'll tie them to an altar and I lift up a knife and put it through their chest. I'll cut them right to their very hearts hanging out. And then I'll light a fire and I'll burn their body to its cinders. How difficult must this be? But Abraham had the word of God. And he says, Lord, you said in this boy, the seed line would come forth. And the seed who is the Redeemer shall come forth. The kinsman will come from this line. And his faith, he had to dig deep. Imagine asking something like that of a man. See, God places us into his own shoes when we put it like that. Go with me. We all know it. The John's Gospel chapter 3, please. John's Gospel chapter 3. Just let your eye run down to verse 16. We could quote it off by heart, couldn't we? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Notice, his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice in this verse we have the manifestation of God's love. The manifestation of God's love. For God so loved the world. There's the manifestation of it. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There's the intention of God's love. The intention of his love. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice, should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the duration of God's love. The duration of God's love. And so I have mentioned it, but let me repeat it. For God so loved the world, what a fact that God has loved us. What a fact that he gave his only begotten Son. What an act to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a pact that those who believe in Christ will have everlasting life. And so God gave his Son. And he places us. He placed Abraham. Now he places us in the place of himself, as he did with Hosea, marrying a woman. His bride becomes adulterous and he has to buy her back. How does he do it? Through the gospel of his Son. And now we see here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice, God did not send Christ to condemn the world, but to save us. This time it is the Israelite world. God did not send him to say, "Yous are so bad and so sinful and so wicked." Even though he called out the Jewish world, the religious world. But God sent him to save his own and to save his people. Notice, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here's why he didn't send him to condemn. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So in other words, what John is telling us under the unction of the Holy Ghost is the world is already under condemnation. But God sent forth his Son made of a woman. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were under the law. The law says we're sinners. The law points out our sin, discovers the sin in me. But Christ's blood is the remedy to cleanse me and to cleanse you. So take note here, brothers and sisters, the Son was given. You go back to Genesis, please. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. So we have the Son. Secondly, we have the sacrifice. Verse 6, if you will. And Abraham took the wood. This is important we notice this. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire on the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Notice this. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Notice verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And they went both of them together. Now here's something to notice. God did not say that he would provide a lamb for himself. Abraham didn't say God will provide a lamb for himself. He says God will provide himself a lamb. In other words, Christ came from glory and came down that he might become the Lamb of God, the Lamb that would finish all sacrifice, all offerings, the Lamb above all other lambs, the ending of all lambs, of all blood to be shed would be finished when Christ died on Calvary's tree. I'm not looking for lambs and goats and bulls and pigeons and turtle doves and this and that and the other. The blood has been shed by the Lamb of God. We look upon the blood of Christ and above it, upon it and it only. But notice here, if you will, in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Abraham takes the wood. Imagine that. Not only has the Lord said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering. But now Abraham says, okay, he has to wrestle with this, believe God that he'll raise him from the ash, from the dead and from the ash. But even going up, poor Isaac, he says, here, you carry the wood too. Place the wood on him. You carry it up. You're going to lay on it and you're going to die on it. Boy, does it not take us back to John's Gospel, chapter 19, when in verse 17, when the Quango Kangaroo Court had sent our Lord Jesus Christ to die, it says in John 19 and verse 17 of the Lord Jesus, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Notice, they placed the wood of the cross in which he would be nailed to and sacrificed upon. They placed it upon the back of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went all the way carrying the cross of wood. Abraham says, Isaac, see, this is a type of Calvary, the only son of Abraham. Here's the wood. You carry it and you're going to bear it. And you will die upon it. Christ carried his cross. Christ went all the way with the wood on his back. And Christ ended up with his back on the wood while they nailed him hand and foot. And then they hung him between heaven and earth and crucified him. Listen to Isaiah 53 and verse 10. We always quote, and I quote, Isaiah 53 and 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With the stripes we are healed, and even in verse 6, all we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Listen, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jehovah laid on the Son, the Father on the Son, the iniquity of us all. But listen to verse 10. Listen to this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I want you to stop and think about this, brethren and sisters, friends this evening. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Well, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Too easy to glance over that. Do you see that term, where thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin? See the word there for make, M-A-K-E? It is a word in the Hebrew called sum, and it means to place upon, to set, to appoint, or to ordain. Pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him, the Son. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt ordain. Set and appointed, look, his soul. His soul. An offering for sin. See that word there, sum. Do you know where you'll find that word again? You'll find it in Genesis 22 and verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and led it upon Isaac. See the word led, L-A-I-D? It's the same word, soon. He says, this is the wood of the sacrifice. He takes it and he sets it on Isaac and he appoints, this is the very altar you will die on. But the difference and the greater point of it is this, in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, when thou shalt make or ordain or appoint or set in place, make his, the soul of Jesus, the soul of our Savior, make his soul an offering for sin. Look, we always think about the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his feet and the markings on his brow where the crown of thorns was driven in. We think of his face was marred more than any man. We think of our Lord Jesus with the 39 Roman lashes, with the Roman flagellum whip across his back, ploughed field. His back was like a ploughed field. And we think of this, how gruesome and horrific it is. But that's not the worst. That's the outward manifestation of our sin on him. That's not the worst. The ordaining his soul as an offering. The very person of the Son of God. The very real you inside you is your soul. Your appetites and your conscious needs is the real you. And the real appetite, conscious need of the person of the Son of God. His soul was made an offering for sin. Is it any wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, you see, the father had to go further than Abraham. The son had to do more than Isaac. Both were greater than the latter. And the soul of Christ was made an offering, ordained for sin offering. His soul was made an offering for sin that yours and mine would be clean and forgiven and set free and given eternal life. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Hallelujah. That's you and me. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. If you're wanting to read, we'll not turn to it tonight. If you want to mark it, you can read it when you have time. You want to read about the soul sin offering. You'll read about it in Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. So we have the son, we have the sacrifice. Thirdly, we have the surrender. The surrender. Will you look with me, please, to verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Notice, Isaac wasn't a wee boy here. Wasn't like he took a wee boy and says, we'll do this like a child sacrifice. No, no. Israelites were not allowed child sacrifice. The Canaanites done child sacrifice. The Israelites were not allowed child sacrifice. Jehovah forbid it. Isaac was a young, strong, strapping man. Or how else would he have carried all the wood up the hill, up the mountain? So there had to be a surrender. His father Abraham, to lay him on that, build the altar. And there's Isaac, can you imagine trying to put the wood in order with his father? A big altar. Where's the lamb? You're it, son, get on it. This is for you, get on it. Can you imagine the big strapping fellow carried all that wood up? Not putting me on that. You're joking. I'm not doing it. But instead, Isaac surrendered to his father's will. Isaac surrendered to his father's will, ends up with his back on the altar of wood, and no doubt tied hand and foot. When we get to this point in the chapter, everything of the take thy son and thine only son Isaac, and he gathers up the men to go with him, and he would gather everything together, and he leaves very quickly. The Holy Spirit has the story, and it's rolling quite fast. Even they carry the wood up the hill and the fire and the knife and talk. It's as if the Holy Spirit puts the brakes on us, a slowing down of the narrative here. It's like, now hold on, we're talking about the surrender of this for the sacrifice. It's a slowing down of the narrative as we approach the fateful moment when the knife would go in. This reminds me of John 4 and verse 34, the surrender of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus saith, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him. He surrendered to the Father's will and to finish his work. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, at the end of the verse, it's Jesus says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus is saying, it's not about my will. It's about the will of my Father who has sent me. Again in John chapter 6 and in verse 38, the Lord Jesus says, for I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The surrender, the person of Christ. It's not my will I've come to do. I'm come to do his will. In John 18 and in verse 11, the Lord Jesus again, in the garden of Gethsemane, there he's praying alone while the disciples fall asleep. And looking to heaven, he cries, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Surrendered himself to the will of his Father. That's Luke 22:42. John 18 and 11 is, the cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Say one more of these in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and in verse 5. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Here written of our Lord Jesus Christ, taken from Psalm 40 and in verse 7. So Christ surrendered himself to his Father's will. Isaac surrendered himself to his Father's will. Well, you go back to chapter 22 of Genesis, please. And let's just go back a verse to verse 8, if you will. We want to look at the substitute. The substitute. The substitute. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. The substitute. My son, God will provide himself for a burnt offering. I think we know what a substitute is, but just in case. A substitute is to take the place of another or to put in another one's place. To put something else in. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, it says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Notice, died in our place. Christ died for our sins. He was our substitute according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Here we're given the idea of the son of promise, Isaac, and the son of promise, the Lord Jesus Christ. willingly going to be sacrificed and also willingly to be a substitute. There you see the sacrifice, the substitute would be brought and tied and bound hand and foot to the altar. The blood was shed on the altar. Notice this in Psalm 118. If you want to turn with me, Psalm 118, please. I have much time to go through this, but let your eye run down, if you will. This psalm, you know, is the last psalm of what's known as the Great Hallel, the Great Hallelujah Psalm, where they sang it as they ascended up to temple in the Old Testament. They sang Psalm 113, Psalm 114, 15, 16, 17, and as they reached the ascent, they would be singing Psalm 118 as we have it. We have, "This is the Lord's day, it is marvelous in our eyes," in verse 23. In verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Think about this. The day from eternity. There in that upper room as Jesus broke bread and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. And this is my blood," when they took the cup and drank from it. "This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as he done it, we're told that they sang a great psalm. It is the Hallel Psalm, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And before he goes out into Gethsemane, where he's arrested, he goes through the trial, and then when he goes to Calvary after the whipping post, here he's singing, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. From away in eternity, this is the time when the Son of God would be the sacrifice to redeem his own. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." For you and I, we might be running for the hills, trying to hide behind a tree or behind a bush or something. Get on the fastest horse and run out of time. You know what they're going to do to me? You know the pain and the shame and the suffering, and my Father is going to make my soul an offering for sin. The wrath of the Father poured out upon the Son. But instead, in the upper room, he's saying, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." We usually use that when something great is happening in church. Wednesday nights, the building down there is filled with people praying. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." But that's not the context of it. The context is up to the temple when the sacrifice would be made. And here he is, Christ, about to go to Calvary. And he's singing this. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Imagine singing that and you're going to go through the horrors of Calvary. And the wrath of your Father is about to be poured out on you as the substitute rather than out in someone like me. And he's singing this. Take note, he sings of himself. In verse 27, "God is the Lord, which hath showed us light." Notice, "bind this sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar." They bind your arms to the cross. Till they kneel you hand and foot. Bound to the altar of the cross he was. Like Isaac would have been bound to the altar, and the father, Abraham, lifts up the knife to thrust it into his breast, but he's hindered, and he's told not to lay a hand on the young lad to his hurt. But the Father in heaven watched his Son go the whole way through. The whole way. Notice this. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Imagine Christ singing this. Thou art my God, and I will praise. I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Father, glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee. The Father says, Son, I have glorified it, and I will glorify thee again. There's no glory like the glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, what do you say to that? The cross of Christ, the blood of the Savior. The ram is caught in the thicket. It's a substitute. Where is the substitute? He's right behind us. God has provided a ram caught in the thicket. Isaac was released like you and I are. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Fifthly and lastly, the sign. In Genesis 22, if you will. Genesis 22, please, and verse 14, just at the end. Abraham is told to look, and there's a ram caught in the thicket, and Isaac goes free. It says in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Notice, Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will see to it. Hallelujah. When I was hopeless and helpless in my sin, the Lord seen to it. When you were helpless and hopeless in your sin, the Lord seen to it. This is the sign, he says, Jehovah Jireh, that the Lord will see to it and God will provide. He provided a lamb. He provided his son. We talk about provision. I talked to you the very first one when we talked about Israel and what they needed as they come out of Egypt, how the Lord made 4,500 tons of manna fall on the ground every day. 1 million ton of manna per year for 40 years to feed Israel. And what a provision. What a wonderful provision. But what about the thirst of the people? He made 2 million gallons. We see these wee paintings of a wee rock, and there we see a wee trickle of water coming out. 2 million gallons of water per day for 40 years. That's provision. Wonderful, glorious provision. What about the quail, the flesh that came, the birds? Well, all eating a half a pound per person, 1,000 tons of flesh was required every day for 40 years. That's provision. Glorious provision. God will provide. But brothers and sisters and friends, above it all, God provided a sacrifice. He provided the Lamb of God, his son, to die in our place. What a wonderful Savior. So I must finish. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Some people think it's Jehovah Jireh. You go down to the dole office and you collect a gyro. No, this is Jehovah Jireh, and it's not all of this. I don't know if you've seen it, Rita. I don't even want to go into it, but it's about you sow your £1,000 and God will bless you by the time you get home. Nonsense, rubbish, and tripe. God blesses me every day. God blesses me every day. I am blessed every day, every moment of the day. I'm blessed. He meets my need and more. But notice this. The name of that place is believed Mount Moriah. It's in the region of Moriah, but the mountain is believed to be Mount Moriah. Jehovah Jireh. There is a sign there. God will provide. Some believe it is also Arunah's threshing floor from 2 Samuel 24. David had numbered Israel and God had cursed him for it. And the Israelites were dropping dead. And the only way was to sacrifice unto the Lord. And he goes up into this earth region, up into a mountain believed to be the same place. And there he starts a sacrifice unto the name of the Lord that plague and disease would stop in Israel. And God seen it and stopped it because of the blood. And brothers and sisters, what about when he sees a disease in our land and across our nation? It's not Arunah's threshing floor or David's threshing floor in Arunah's place. It's not that we're looking for. The only cleansing from sin is at the place called Calvary, where Christ shed his blood and died. Notice here, Isaac wasn't slain there. The angel of the Lord stopped his hand. The Lord Jesus wasn't slain where it's believed to be where the Temple Mount is today, where Solomon's temple sat. Lord Jesus was rejected. The same place, but the Lord Jesus was rejected. Even as the prophet Isaiah said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And they said, crucify him. And he wasn't crucified there. He's crucified outside the city walls up the Mount Calvary, as it's known as. God provide, what a sign. He says, this adulterous and sinful generation to the Jews, this adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign given it, but the sign of Jonah. Even as he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Christ was crucified, and he went to the tomb for 3 days and for three nights. But as the hymn writer said, up from the grave he arose. We serve a living Savior. We serve a wonderful Savior. Brothers and sisters, would you shout amen? Amen. He's a wonderful Lord. Bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, Abraham going into the Father's shoes, so to speak, his place. Isaac as a type of Christ in his. He takes Hosea as a type of himself with Gomer, his wife of the northern kingdom. And he says, look, they're in and out and committing adultery to me. Imagine this happening at home. Send them out. And yet there'll come a time when I will send my son, my only begotten son, whom I love, and he will redeem them with his precious blood. How does anyone expect to please God without trusting in the blood of Christ? After all, place yourself. I trust the Spirit has placed you, as it were, in the place of the Father. That's my son, and I'm giving him to a people who don't know me, who've sinned before me. Will you come and speak to us? If you're not right with God and you want to get saved tonight, we're here to point you to Christ. May God bless his word to every heart.